Welcome to the Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Today is a legendary day. A lot of people going to Chicago for the Early Edge meetup. If you're one of those people, let us know. And if you're not one of those people, that's okay. We'll do it again another time very soon. Let's take a look at the recap screen before we bring in the stars of the show and give out a couple of sports line picks. We go 5-4. Buckets 1-for-2. Brad Thomas 1-for-2. Sports line 2-for-2. And Larry hits his Diamondbacks money line play. Shout out to the Pirates. I like the first five in that game as well. Shout out to Jeff Hockman and Prop Bet Guy there. All right, before we bring in the stars of the show, let's give out a couple of sports line picks, and we're headed right back to Major League Baseball. Prop Bet Guy with another one. Jose Soriano under 16.5 outs at -102. And EC dropping in with Christopher Sanchez over 18.5 outs at -132. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in the stars of the show. Now that we hopefully have gone 2-0 on today's recap screen, we go 4-0 with this crew. Matt Snyder, Buckets, Martin Green, and Mike McClure. Buckets, I'm going to start with you. How are we feeling about the World Cup? Some pretty intense matches yesterday.
Yeah, I think if you made profit yesterday, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself watching teams like Germany get knocked out by Paraguay and Netherlands play defensively for the first time ever for some reason. So some weird matches. I think today, at least for the first two, we're getting pretty straightforward looks. France is playing, so there's an easy bet on the over anytime you see them playing. But be careful of that Mexico-Ecuador match tonight. That's going to be a very tricky one to bet on.
Mike McClure, John Cholik in the chat says, has anyone put out any Wimbledon futures? Your response?
No Wimbledon futures. We do have a Wimbledon play, though, here, opening round.
Yep. All right. Martin Green, your reaction to yesterday's knockout matches?
I thought we did okay yesterday, Buckets. Well, I mean, we all seemed to be on both teams to score in that Netherlands-Morocco game, so that cashed. I had Brazil to beat Japan, that cashed. I don't think anyone had Paraguay beating Germany. That was a major shock. But yeah, let's hope some favorites do what they're supposed to do today.
Matt Snyder, Joe Neuenfeld is asking, will there be a Thursday show? The answer to that, of course, is yes. We're never going to miss this show. Sniper, how you doing?
I'm good. Hold on. Okay. I think better with this bat. I just have a question. Is Buckets going to allegedly throw over 80 miles per hour tomorrow?
Do we want to talk about that, Sia?
I mean, you might as well just mention it really quick if you're comfortable.
So not to get too deep into family stuff here, I will be at a funeral tomorrow, so I will no longer be at the meet and greet in Chicago. Family, unfortunately, will always take priority, so I'm sorry to everyone. I will make it to one eventually, but this is not my way of just getting out of the 80-mile-per-hour fastball. That was going to happen no matter what, but I won't be there anymore, so just want to give a heads up to the chat here.
Well, Buckets, you will definitely be missed.
Apologize. That totally blew up in my face.
I did not. and that's why it's like, I don't want to say why I'm not going, but I feel like I have to. So sorry, Matt.
Sniper, I'm not going to be stepping in to receive an 80 mile per hour fastball. So I don't know. Maybe Mike McClure. Mike, are you going to step in and try to hit one?
Probably not, but we'll see.
I'll hit.
So everybody, all right. We get to see Sniper play some serious baseball in his younger days, so we'll watch him. All right, let's get some picks out of the way here. Buckets, I got to go right back to you. You mentioned the France game and talking about goals there, and you've got to play on Erling Haaland.
So this France team is very frustrating because they don't need to go out of first gear and they can still beat teams by multiple goals. But now we're in the knockout round. So I'm expecting players like Kylian Mbappe to let that ego overtake them and just press and press and press for goals. France are the better team here and it's not even close, guys. However, if you're a team like Sweden who does have Viktor Gyökeres and who does have Alexander Isak, you've got to know that you've got to go for a goal here because you're not going to stop France from scoring. Your only way of possibly qualifying is if you push and you counter and you find some semblance of a goal in this game. I'm going with both teams to score at -115. I also do like France over 2.5 team total at +110. I'm expecting this to be a very goal-heavy and very ugly matchup because Sweden's defense has been non-existent in the World Cup, and France is France. I really don't have to say anything else. I know Martin's got a bet on them as well, so I'll leave some room for him to talk about it, but I do expect both teams to score to hit in this game. And then Cote d'Ivoire taking on Norway. I know that people didn't like it. People had a lot of very angry words to say online about Norway deciding to rest their starters against France. They said, hey, we're not going to beat these guys. So let's let Haaland, let's let Sørloth, let's Odegaard, all of our big players rest for a full 90 minutes. And they did that. But now it's time to show up as you're playing a Cote d'Ivoire team that looked really solid during the group stage. And Yann Diamande's price tag keeps going up, up, up every game he plays. I expect this to be a close game. But if you're ever going to give me Erling Haaland anywhere close to even money, minus 105 to score a goal, if this was minus 150, I'd use it as a parlay piece. He is just that good and that in form with the national team. So I'm expecting Haaland to find the back of the net today.
All right. Your body double, Erling Haaland. All right. We're going to move forward. By the way, if you have soccer questions, Martin Green and obviously Buckets are here to answer them. So make sure you get your World Cup questions in the chat. MLB, Wimbledon, PGA, whatever you got, we've got you covered. And Sniper, we're going to go to you next with some baseball. And perhaps your first pick, you got a couple of plus money props. Perhaps your first pick is a prelude of what's to come tomorrow when the Early Edge meetup is happening.
That is 100% where my head was. I wanted to do something in honor of our meetup tomorrow in Wrigley. So I'm going to go with PCA. I'm going to go with my guy, Pete Crow Armstrong. I'm going to go over 2.5 hits, runs, RBIs. Now, JP Sears is on the mound for the Padres. He's a left-hander, so it's a lefty-lefty matchup. But Pete has gotten so much better at the plate in terms of his approach, in terms of facing lefties. And in his last 35 games, 35, not that small of a sample, he's hitting .362 with a .710 slugging percentage. So he's hitting leadoff. He can steal bases. He can score runs. He scored the winning run last night in a walk-off. Going to go with Pete here. But, yeah, it was mostly in honor of tomorrow's meetup. Also, I'm going to go out to Sacramento here, and I'm going to go with Mookie Betts over 2.5 hits, runs, RBIs. Mookie is actually really, really hot right now. 313 with a .542 slugging in his last 20 games. He's even hotter in the last handful of games, 10 or so. The main thing for me, though, Jeffrey Springs, left-hander on the mound for the A's, 22 home runs allowed, leads the Dodgers, 6.43 ERA at home this season, 14 home runs allowed and 49 innings pitched in that ballpark, Sutter Health Park in Sacramento. Load up on your Dodgers today. I'm going to go with Mookie, but you can't go wrong with anybody.
I'm curious with the Dodgers. I mean, obviously they wouldn't get their – oh, no, they would get their full complement of at-bats. Yeah. The run line on the Dodgers, any thoughts there? Because it seems reasonable in that minus 110 range.
Yeah, I'm good with that as well. Absolutely.
All right, Martin Green, we've got some soccer questions. One, I remember you and Buckets on CBS Sports Network yesterday talking about Ecuador. I remember Buckets' take, and I'm going to let him give his take on that. But, Martin, I don't quite remember yours, which means you were probably on the other side. How are you feeling about that Ecuador match?
I think this was the toughest one of the three games today to handicap. We're all scratching our heads a bit because I think the sportsbooks have priced it to perfection. I'm definitely leaning towards Mexico because they have home advantage. It's going to be in Azteca, so thousands of screaming Mexico fans could roar their team onto victory. But I do think it could be a draw at halftime. That was my play, minus 105. All three of Ecuador's games were tied at halftime during the group stage, and Mexico's last two games were also tied at halftime. So close to even money on a halftime draw. I think it'll be a really cagey first half. So that's my best play on there.
Now, Buckets, I think the recap that we did on CBS Sports Network of today's games is actually on the Sportsline YouTube channel. Make sure, everybody, that you're subscribed there, and make sure you hit the like button right now. But, Buckets, I remember agreeing with you on the plus money play of Ecuador advancing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing that you agree with me, Sia. We all know that you are a renowned footy capper that gave out Liverpool to beat Burnley when they were up 2-0 last year.
1-0.
Hats off to you. What I will say is I do agree with Martin. This is going to be cagey. This is the only round of 32 matchup where the over or under is set to 1.5 goals instead of 2.5 or 3.5. Ecuador are going to park the bus for as long as they can. If this ended 0-0, I wouldn't be shocked. I am on Ecuador to advance. Honestly, I did that because their win against Germany impressed me. After yesterday, I'm a little less impressed with their win over Germany. So it's going to be a tough one. I still think that Ecuador can get through, but that's a game you got to be careful with.
Just in case there aren't any soccer experts out there, when Buckets refers to parking the bus, he means really heavy on defense. So I just want to, as a noted soccer expert at 100% win rate, I just wanted to put that out there. Mackenzie Brooks is in the chat, Buckets. She says you and her are aligned today. Your reaction?
Sounds about right to me. She's been crushing it over at Galazzo. So whatever she says, I'm basically just following her at this point.
All right. We love to hear it. Mike, just out of curiosity, we are going to get to your tennis and PGA pick in just a second. Do you run simulations for soccer or did you, anything notable in MLB today that you ran?
No, I do. I do dabble in soccer. Let me see if I've got any. I'm not going heads up with buckets here. No.
Please be on my side. Please be on my side. Please be on my side.
I'll just say I think it will be cagey, like Bucket said, and Martin. I think it'll be one to watch for sure. I like unders in football. I like things like that. I think this will be a physical kind of cagey game for Mexico today.
All right. Well, if you want to take advantage of a BetMGM promo, hopefully it's not cagey. Hopefully there's not too much of the parking of the bus, if you will, because you can get an early payout if your team grabs a two-goal lead. Get an early payout for a two-goal lead. Just place a pregame match result bet on any World Cup match. If your team takes a two-goal lead at any point in the game, your bet pays out as a win only at BetMGM. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get to the answers to your questions. We got to get to Mike's picks. I've got another outright to give out for the John Deere Classic. And, of course, we have Martin Green's soccer picks as well. We're going to do it all right after this message from our partners. All right. You got to love the Son of a Taylor ad. We might be seeing the Son of a Taylor, something like that particular ad. We might be not seeing that quite as much. So just embrace it. You're basking it, everybody. It's been a fun ride with Son of a Taylor. Great brand. I'm bringing a Son of a Taylor shirt to the meetup in Wrigley, which I'm leaving for right after this show. So we may as well get on with it. Mike McClure, you've got a Wimbledon pick. You've got a John Deere Classic pick. You've got the floor.
All right, let's start with Wimbledon. Everyone wants futures. I'll give you a comment on futures before the pick. Jannik Sinner is clearly the top player in the world, especially with Alcaraz out. This is Novak Djokovic's last, in my opinion, opportunity to kind of grab that final Grand Slam title, if you will. So I will be looking for ways to back Novak. Not going to play it at the current number. I think you'll have that number largely available most of the way. For today, though, I like Francis Tiafoe, the American. Has had an excellent grass court season so far. I like him to get off to a hot start here in round one. Going to go a straight set victory, 3-0, plus 160 the payout here. This is currently available at DK. I priced this number all the way down to plus 125 on a straight set victory. Pretty significant edge here for Tiafoe. He's played this opponent multiple times before, cruising to victories essentially every time. The opponent just has not been good on grass this season, but I really think that Tiafoe at this particular point has, in this season, taken another step forward in his career. I love his game on grass. Love him to advance in this match, but really like the price point here, plus 160 on a straight set victory. He's someone you could look to back, round by round going forward at Wimbledon. And then for golf, let's talk about the 19-year-old Blades Brown. This is a guy that I want to back. I think we're all going to be backing him at certain times going forward. With this T14 at CJ Cup, he got himself the temporary membership for the remainder of the season. We're going to see him a little bit here. He's been very good at every level that he's played. You get this particular field. It's a little bit of a watered down field at the John Deere Classic for PGA Tour standards. I like this top 40 number here, plus 106. I really think he's live for a top 20 finish. Again, just raw talent. Love the overall skill set. Love some of the proximity buckets that we should see here at this course. I think this is a time that Blades Brown, again, I don't think he's going to win this event, but I think he's going to firmly be within the cut and be playing well all four rounds. I'll take a top 40 here, plus 106.
Yeah, I also think in what's going to be a birdie fest, Blades Brown makes a lot of sense. I think this top 40 play is really good, that you're getting a plus number in front of it. And some of the young talent, Mike, I'm a pretty big fan. I'm not always a fan of the young talent. I'm not always the guy that's like grabbing the young guy and just hoping it comes in. But this is a good transition to my pick. Now, I gave out a couple of long shot outrights yesterday. It was Jackson Suber and Johnny Kiefer. I'm going to give one more out today. And I had some luck bringing some of the early wedge stuff to this show last week with my first round leader and Eric Cole at 60-1. So let's just keep that going. I'm going to have more traditional golf plays tomorrow, maybe a baseball play. But I'm going to take Jackson Koivun outright. So I've got the 266-1 shots. I've got Jackson Koivun. I may add one or two maybe longer shots to my card, but talk about a guy that's been really good already on the PGA Tour. Now, this is the number one amateur in the world in Jackson Koivun. This is his first tournament as a pro, and I really think he fits any course really well, but particularly this one, a guy that can fill it up with the putter as well. He played here last year, and he was T11, so that tells you something about this young kid. Now, his metrics were a little across, like, kind of weird. Like, his approach play wasn't very good, but his putter off the tee game was very good. But what we've seen from him on the few times that he's been on the PGA Tour or played on the PGA Tour and at the US Open last month is that he's just been very good. Like, top fiving, top 15 in this field, in this watered down field. I think when you see a guy like Jackson Koivun, again, who I understand is a new name to a lot of people, and you see him next to guys like Eric Cole and JT Poston, and double the price of guys like Ben Griffin, I automatically think there's value there because I think this guy is so supremely talented. So give me Jackson Koivun at 27-1. Let's get to more soccer. Let's get to Martin Green. We've got some questions in the chat as well, but Martin, you've got two official picks.
Thank you, Sia. I do. Yeah. Starting with the Ivory Coast versus Norway game. Both teams to score paid off in all three of Norway's group stage matches. That was a 4-1 win against Iraq, a 3-2 victory over Senegal, and that 4-1 defeat to France, where they played their reserves, but they still actually looked pretty dangerous in attack throughout the game. Their best players are going to be rested for this match, so we'll see the best from Erling Haaland and Martin Ødegaard, I believe. And I expect the Norwegians to score in this game, but the Norway defence just really didn't impress me during the group stage. It looked vulnerable, and they just lack physicality in defence. They could also struggle to deal with the fierce heat in Dallas this afternoon. I believe it's going to get to about 96 degrees in Dallas, and Vikings aren't built for that sort of heat. So I think that gives Ivory Coast a good chance of scoring in this game too. Bucket's already mentioned Yann Diamande, who's been really impressive at this tournament. They've also got the likes of Ahmed Diallo and Nicolas Pepe up front. So they've got lots of weapons. I think they'll get on the score sheet. Just both teams to score at -135. If you want more value, you can combine that with over 2.5 goals. That gets it closer to even money. Or I'd even combine it with Norway to win, because I do think Norway will just about edge this one despite the heat. Then I'm also looking at the France game. They're obviously the heavy favourites to win the World Cup after sweeping Norway, Senegal and Iraq aside during the group stage. Mbappe and Dembele both scored 4 goals. They're just in amazing form right now. Elise's pulling the strings in midfield. They just look like such a well-oiled machine in attack. I think they should have far too much firepower for Sweden to handle. I really like Bucket's play of France to score over 2.5 goals, because I can see them winning this one sort of 3-1. Sweden are dangerous in attack. Jokeres, Isak, Elanga, Ayari. They've got a lot of very talented players, and France's defence isn't exactly watertight, but France just looks so impressive going forwards right now. I can see them scoring 3 or 4 goals here, and I think they'll cover a 1.5 goal spread. So I'm going for that at -130. Again, if you want a bit more value, just throw in Mbappe to score, because he's going to play a starring role in this game.
Buckets, I don't know if you want to do the rattle off the questions thing. We do have a lot of questions in the chat. I saw France first half to win the first half. I saw Olise assist. I saw Erling Haaland first half, 2 shots on goal. What did you see?
A bunch of stuff we can jump on. I do want to say that BetMGM has a boost where it's boosted odds on that both teams to score bet. So if you do like Martin's bet, like I do as well, that's not a bad place to look. Rapid fire through some of these. Starting at the bottom here, how about France to have the most corners in other halves? I'm going to guess both halves at +105. I'm just not a corners guy. I wish we had Brad here. The problem with France is they are so prolific on attack, they might only need 3 shots to get 3 goals. So corners in general scares me with them. That being said, it's not a bad bet, just something I don't know enough about to say with confidence you should take. Josh Hart, France to win the first half. Don't know the odds. I'm going to assume it's playable. I don't hate that. I have not been doing well with first half bets during the World Cup. The hydration break at the 20 minutes, I feel like it's kind of messing with a lot of teams and their momentum. That being said, France do have the quality to handle this. Kyle Shirley, total goals over 3.5 is +117. Do you like that, Buckets? Pending, we're talking about the France game. Yes, I like that. If we're talking about Norway, and if we're talking about Mexico, no. Josh Kitty said, first time on the live. How do we feel about Mexico going to win in penalties? Martin, I know that you think Mexico are going to edge this through. We're on different sides of this. Does this have another shot of being a match with penalties?
I think it really could. Yeah, I mean, both teams are very evenly matched. I think Mexico have a deeper squad, but Ecuador have more star quality. You've got the likes of William Pacho, Moises Caicedo, Piero Hincapié. They've got a very good team. You definitely can't rule them out, even though they're the underdogs and they're in Mexico City and they're going to have to deal with a fired up partisan crowd at the Azteca. It could be a really close game. Yeah, I could see this one going to penalties. I'm leaning Mexico. You're leaning Ecuador, but I don't think either of us are 100% confident about that.
And both teams to win. So Mexico to win in a penalty shootout is plus 800. Ecuador to win in a penalty shootout, plus 800. So if you wanted to sprinkle a little bit on either of them and just hope for nothing for 120 minutes, I don't hate that look. And finally, Joe Dollar, or let's do primetime peak performance. I really like Holland, two shots on target in the first half or one shot on target. It's been hitting for me. One shot on target in the first half is already plus money. So I like that look a lot. I do think that Holland kind of has to put the team on his back a little bit here. I'm expecting him to do a lot in this match against Cote d'Ivoire.
Let's switch gears for a second, Sniper. We've got some MLB questions. A couple people asking about, very specifically asking about the Red Sox run line. Minus 1.5 at home, early on the mound versus Cavalli. Any thoughts there?
Yes. I know that the Red Sox have been hot lately, but it's still just not a good team. And I don't want to trust them to cover a run line, especially at home where, as Mike McClure likes to point out, they don't necessarily have the ninth inning at bat to you know, add a little bit to the cushion there. So no, I don't like that one at all.
How about the Brewers run line? Ray G asking about that. The run line. Oh, so he has this number wrong though, because Brewers minus 1.5 is plus money. It's more like plus 120, not the minus 130 that he's listing. Any thoughts there?
I do like that one. Yeah, it's you know, the Reds haven't been very good since the end of April, basically. They're now 5 games under 500. They were one of the better teams in baseball in April. Brewers are really, really good. They got that win late last night. Yes, I like this one. It feels like it might be a blowout.
I think we have to cover the Yankees game for two reasons. One, it's because the Yankees, and we see a lot of Yankees questions. But Skubal on the mound against Cam Schlittler. Now, last time we did the Early Edge meetup was last year at Yankee Stadium. Cam Schlittler, I believe, was making his debut that night, if I remember correctly. Anyway, he's on the mound hosting the Tigers. Any thoughts in that game? Of course, Jeff Stenberg's going to have a snarky comment saying that 10-plus strikeouts is plus 275. He's basically facing a triple-A lineup, he says.
I might like the under on this one. The Yankees offense has been so bad recently. And then you're facing Tarek Skubal on top of that. But Schlittler is amazing. I if we're going to look at the money line or anything like that, I would take the Yankees to win this one. But yeah, I believe it's going to be low scoring.
Well, one more, or possibly one more before we get to the home run chart. Brian Wu, his splits at home are pretty dramatic. Over 18.5 pitching outs. Your thoughts from Paco Montoya?
Facing the Angels. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Angels offense is pretty bad. And the Angels have been kind of hot recently, which makes me feel like there's regression right around the corner, especially with Mike Trout hurt. So, yeah, I could definitely – yeah, I'm down with that one.
I certainly would maybe look at Wu's strikeouts as well. Mike, I don't know if you've run your MLB simulations. Any of these games pop to you that we just discussed?
You know, the first one you talked about, Boston's run line, I actually lean the other way. I lean on Washington's run line. Mm-hmm. Other games, let's see. I like the – Phillies a little, would still play the juice on that money line. And yeah. So those two. Yep.
Okay. Let's get to the home run chart and then we'll get back to a couple more questions in the World Cup and then we'll get to the recap screen. Liam Hicks, Dominic Canzone, who hit a home run for us per the home run chart yesterday, by the way. This home run chart's been kind of on fire the last couple of weeks. And Trevor Larnach. So we've got, for the audio listeners, plus 318 versus plus 400 on Hicks. Canzone, plus 333 versus plus 475. And Larnach, plus 665 versus plus 740. Sniper, your thoughts?
First off, I'm not going to go against the chart at all. So we're good with all these. Also, I mentioned it earlier. I would look at some Dodgers in Sutter Health Park against Jeffrey Springs, who has allowed the most home runs in the majors. So I would look at some Dodgers there.
Sniper, last baseball question, and I have to give Sox Nation some props here. We're going to the Cubs game. We're not going to the White Sox game. I know Jen is probably in the chat. She's a big White Sox fan. Sox Nation wants to know, are the White Sox the second best team in the AL?
Who's the best? I guess Rays would be the best. Yankees are probably the most talented if they actually get healthy. Yeah. White Sox are in the mix. AL's really bad. I didn't mean that to sound like I'm knocking the White Sox. The White Sox are really fun. I love Miguel Vargas. I'm looking forward to Munetaki Murakami coming back. I love Colson Montgomery. Maybe. And who would have thought that heading into the year? After 21 losses 2 years ago, after over 100 last year, it's been a really fun turnaround for the White Sox for sure.
Mike, any thoughts on the Sox? White Sox?
I mean, I'm honestly kind of rooting for them now in the Central. Like, I think that, I'm rooting for the White Sox in the Central.
All right. Let's get to a couple more soccer questions. Buckets, Odegaard over half an assist.
I would always prefer to take to score or assist because you're getting that at plus money still with Odegaard because he is good enough to score, especially if Cote d'Ivoire end up triple teaming or putting eight guys on Holland. Odegaard's going to be one of those other guys that is capable of scoring. That being said, he does have two assists already in the World Cup, so I don't hate that look at all. And then Brad jumped in and said, the problem with France's corners is the manager plus a lot of touching along the six-yard box. They rather score with their feet than crosses. That was just for the corner question earlier there. And then Business has a question for Martin.
Martin, do we get any two goal scores today? By the way, shout out to Brad Thomas in the chat as well. Go ahead, Martin.
I mean, it's probably the obvious thing to say, but I can't really look past Haaland and Mbappe, the two best strikers in the world. They're not playing against one another. Norway are the favourites to beat Ivory Coast. They should have plenty of chances. So I think Haaland looks good to score in that game. Mbappe didn't score in his last match. I think he'll be frustrated by that. Dembele really stole the limelight and scored a hat-trick in that one. So I think he's going to make it all about him today. I think he'll get on the score sheet. Yeah, combine those two. If you do want a bit more value, swap Mbappe out for Dembele.
All right, hand up if I missed anything. A programming note, by the way. 7 o'clock tonight is the early wedge. I'm hoping that I will be situated well enough to be on that show. But even if I'm not, it's on the Sportsline YouTube channel. Patrick McDonald, EC, Jason Sobel, and Josh Mullenix has been mixing in, and he's been absolutely on fire, hit Victor Hovland outright, which is pretty incredible. He was nowhere near my radar there. But anyway, 7 o'clock tonight on the Sportsline YouTube channel, it'll be best bets for the John Deere Classic. All right, let's get to the recap screen. As I need to head out to Chicago here. JDC outright. I've given a few outrights on this show, a couple of long shots yesterday. It was Jackson Suber and Johnny Kiefer. Today it's going to be Jackson Koivin at 27-1. We go to soccer, the World Cup, France versus Sweden. Both teams to score -115. And Erling Haaland, anytime goal scorer, -105. More soccer from Martin Green, Ivory Coast, Norway. Both teams to score -135. And France, -1.5, -130. Mike McClure's got a Wimbledon play, Francis Tiafoe, 3-0, +160, and a PGA play, Blades Brown, top 40, +106. We go to MLB, PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, who we're going to see live tomorrow at the Early Edge Meetup, over 2.5 hits, runs, RBIs at +109, and Mookie Betts, over 2.5 hits, runs, RBIs at +115. We led the show with Sportsline picks. Here they are. Jose Soriano under 16.5 outs, -102 from Prop Bet Guy. And Christopher Sanchez over 18.5 outs, -132 from Eric Cohen. Finally, the home run chart. We have Liam Hicks, Dominic Canzone, and Trevor Larnach. Those are the top MLB home run plays, courtesy of the Inside the Lines crew and Jacob Fetner. Absolutely love how this chat is so excited about the meetup. Again, for those of you that can't make it, I know people have stuff they got to do. Not everybody can travel to Chicago. I just have to say we appreciate every single person that's in this chat or that's listening to the audio version of this show or participates on this Sportsline YouTube channel in some way. I can't say it enough. Brad Thomas, he's on his way to Chicago as well. I got to get out of here. I have a flight to catch. So Sniper, Buckets, Martin Green, Mike McClure, and Ben, who I'll see in a few hours as well on the ones and twos and threes and fours. A big thank you to everybody. That, of course, includes all of you watching and listening to the show. We'll see you next time on The Early Edge. I'm the Counselor of Cash. And for now, we rest our case.